We'll be looking at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to be looking at this as far as a verse to start out with over the next few weeks. 2 Peter chapter 1, hopefully we can learn some important lessons over the next few weeks from this passage, and then we'll probably springboard off into some other texts. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, that's where we're going to be this morning. A wife remarked to her husband after a church service, and she was looking at her husband and said, "Hey, did you see Mrs. Jones' hat?" And the husband looked at the wife and said, "No, not really." And then she looked at the husband kind of perturbed and said, "Well, did you see the new dress that Mrs. Smith wore?" And the husband said, "You know what, I'm afraid that I didn't." And the wife then said, "Well, a lot of good it does you to go to church." Well, coming to church isn't about that. Coming to church may not do you any good. Why do we come to church on Sundays? Or why do we come to church Thursday for special service? Well, the purpose of it is to hear from God, fellowshipping with God's people. And so our text this morning deals with this. Let's just begin with verse 1. Simon Peter, 2 Peter 1, verse 1. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." And then verse 5 through 8 is kind of our text here. Says in verse 5, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." So what's the list? Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. But notice in verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." But look at verse 9. "But he that lacketh these things," guess what he is? He is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Over the next few weeks, we're going to consider some traits of the godly man. Traits of a godly man and woman. I'd like us to consider this morning some of the items in this list. It's kind of an overview of the items. And it's quite an overwhelming list. And we need to consider implementing some of these things into our lives. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we would ask that this morning you would help us as we consider adding to our faith. I pray that you would help us to look at ourselves as Christians. Lord, help us not to be considering the person next to us. Help us not to be considering our uncle or aunt or our friend or our mom or dad or our children. Help us to consider ourselves. And Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would pinpoint those things that we are lacking, that we have fallen short on, and adding to our faith. Lord, help us to be diligent in our Christian walk. Lord, we claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in our text it says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." The word translated here or used in this text in verse 5, it says that we're supposed to add to our faith. That word add actually has a musical connotation to it. And the idea then is, when you're thinking about why would Peter, and writing this down, why would he use a musical connotation in saying add to your faith? Well, in some ways it's like the choir or the band. Right? If we were going to have the choir sing a song and all of them sang unison, right? We would hear one voice, but it would be in unison. But then we'd say, hey, let's add some parts. All right, then all of a sudden you have different parts. Maybe in the simplest term in music, you have a soprano and you have alto and you have tenor and you have bass. And so there are four parts. Now, it could get complicated, and then you can split some of those. And as you add parts, guess what happens? The song becomes fuller. And you start hearing it come to you. Well, this is what Peter is saying to you and I. Once we have been saved, we should become fuller as a Christian. It should be that as we add things, that people start understanding more about Christ as they get to know us, because we start understanding that there is knowledge about Jesus Christ. There is temperance that we're supposed to have, patience, and all the things that are listed here. So as we consider this morning, we want to look at some traits, first of all. Just looking at some traits. As I said, the list can be overwhelming. But I wanted to give you an illustration just to start out. Three guys in our history that we would know, these guys aren't recent history, but I wanted to give you three ideas of people that worked at traits in their life. The first one is Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards, when you read about Jonathan Edwards, he was considered probably one of the greatest intellects. Even today, some historians, some scholars say that Jonathan Edwards, way back in the 1700s, was one of the greatest minds that we had had here on in America. But Jonathan Edwards, as a teenager, decided there was traits or things that he need to work on in his life. Here he is as a teenager. Listen to a couple of the things. All right, he made some resolution. You can look it up and you can find Jonathan Edwards' resolutions even today. And you can list them out. And I'm telling you, even as a teenager, what he wrote will bring you as an adult, it'll bring conviction to your heart. All right, here he is as a teenager, and I'm not going to go through all of them, but this is a couple of them. He said, I am resolved never to do anything, whether physically or spiritually, except what glorifies God. In fact, I resolve not only to this commitment, but I resolve not even to grieve and gripe about this commitment. Another resolution, he says, I am resolved never to lose one moment of time, but seize the time to use it in the most profitable way I possibly can. Another one, I am resolved to live with all my might to the glory of God while I do live. Another resolution, I resolve never to do anything which I would be afraid to do if it were the last hour of my life. All right, now this is Jonathan Edwards as a teenager. All right, and what does he do? God brings him under conviction, and he's getting with God, and maybe he's reading passages like we're reading and saying that God instructs us to add to our faith. And on his knees before God, he says, I need to make some resolutions. I need to work at some things. Now, what about you as a Christian? Most of us are past our teenage years. And if a teenager can have this resolve, can't you? Another man in history, his name was Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin, in 1726, at the age of 20, created a system to develop character. In his autobiography, Benjamin Franklin listed out 13 virtues. I'm going to list them quickly. He listed these, and every week he would work on one virtue, every week of his life. All right, so that every 13 weeks, all right, he was going through every virtue, trying to add to his faith, in essence. Okay, here are the 13. Temperance, silence. Now, I think some of you could work on that. I think we should make that resolve right there. Silence. All right, teenagers, we'd love for you. Let's make that number one. Let's just work on that one. All right, just right there. Silence. Order. Resolution. That means to resolve to perform what you ought. Frugality. Frugality is not being excessive in your expenses. All right, being frugal. Industry. Losing no time, being always employed in something useful. Sincerity, justice, moderation, cleanliness, tranquility, chastity, and humility. All right, look at those 13 different characteristics, those 13 traits that Benjamin Franklin put down, and that's what he tried to do. Every week he worked on one of those. Then he'd come back. He'd come back to them. So over the course of a year, a few times he'd be looking at temperance, industry. Again, here are some men in our past that we can look at. And what did they do? They made list of things to work on. Jonathan Edwards, Benjamin Franklin. Another man that we know in our history is George Washington. George Washington, when he was a teenager, he would spend his school hours listing out different things. And he actually went to, I believe, the Romans. I believe it was Seneca and some of the other ones that he was reading. And it gave him an idea. And so Washington laboriously copied what was known as the rules of civility and decent behavior. Rules of civility and decent behavior. And I'm not going to go through any of them, really, but you can look that up. It's called the Rules of Civility, and it is 110 rules that Washington, as a teenager, found, and he listed them out, hand wrote them, and he would work on these things. I give you these as illustrations because we sometimes think that, oh, I got saved, and man, this is great. And that's it. No, no. The Bible tells you, once you are saved, to add to your faith. To work at it. And I think in our society, we have a bunch of lazy Christians. Lazy Christians that what we think is, well, I'm going to church. Well, we should go to church. But on Monday, I am still a Christian. On Tuesday, I am still a Christian. On Wednesday, I'm still a Christian. Some of you that come here and you're a teenager, I don't care if you're in public school. You are still a Christian on Monday. And to take your Bible and set it aside and say, well, you know what? That was good for Sunday. And I'm going to forget about it the rest of the week. The Bible calls you a weak, sissified Christian. And the Bible wants us to add to our faith. Some of you, you go to our school. And in our school, You don't do any more than the minimum that is required. It could be in college. You only do the minimum that is required. It could be in the church. And you only get on Sunday. On maybe Sunday morning, you sit in Sunday school. And that's all you've been doing all week as far as Bible study. You are a weak Christian. We should be adding to our faith. We should be working at it. And Peter here tells us, add to your faith. Notice the list here that is given to us. Let me just give you a quick illustration. All right, in the Alps, there is a plaque that is made to a faithful guide. This faithful guide went up into the Alps because there was a visitor, a climber, a guest that wasn't. He didn't grow up in the Alps. He flew over and he was climbing in the Alps. And this visitor got trapped. And so this mountain guide went up to rescue this climber. And he died, lost his life. And so they made a plaque. And this is what the plaque says there in the Alps. It says, he died climbing. That's it. He died climbing. Now, in your life and my life, this is what I'd love to have on my epitaph. He died growing. He died growing. Could that be said in your life? Can someone look at your life and 5 years ago? 5 years ago, are you stronger now in your Bible knowledge than 5 years ago, or have you stagnated? Is there a stench upon you spiritually? You've been to a pond. I like biking, and so I'll bike out over going out towards Kimmel Beach, I think it is. All right, going out towards Kimmel Beach. It's by Beverly Shores. And you go down the one main street on Beverly Shore off of 12. You start biking down there. And on the right and on the left is this swamp. Man, it stinks. And all the greenies, they love it. Now, I don't know why they love it. All right, because it stinks. It's not really enjoyable to look at. Maybe there's some of you that really like looking at nasty-looking ponds, right? But, I mean, it's green and filthy, and there's probably some life that lives there that shouldn't, okay? Something that likes putridness and filth, right? Which normally is probably the people that live there in Beverly Shores, all right? But they love that putridness, the filth, and so you're biking by there and you're like, man, this just rots, it stinks. Well, in the same way, is that your spiritual life? Does it stink? Because you're not doing anything, it's stagnating. Well, the Bible, look at the list that's here, and we're not gonna actually this week talk about one specific one. We're going through the whole list. So quickly, look at what it says. It says, add to your faith virtue. What is virtue? Virtue simply is moral excellence. All right, moral excellence. Virtue in the Greek, all right, virtue in the Greek deals with our thought life. So when the Bible says, I want to add to your faith virtue, it's saying, I want to clean up your mind. I want a clean mind. So he tells us, God tells us, add to your faith virtue. Notice the second thing that he tells us to add. He said, I want you to add knowledge. Now, there's a lot of different ideas when it comes to knowledge. But the idea of the word here, knowledge, means discretion. And so it's not just filling up my mind with silly facts about the Bible. Now, in grade school and high school, I can remember competing in Bible knowledge. And man, there's all kinds of stats about the Bible. What is the middle verse of the Bible? All right, and you may be like, oh, I know it. All right, so what good does that do you? Nothing really. Okay, I think the middle chapter. Isn't the middle chapter, I think, Psalm 118 or something like that? The longest verse in the Bible. Some of you know it. Isn't it Esther 8:9? All right? And then the longest word in the Bible. I mean, you got those stats down, but we're not talking about silly stats about the Bible. You know, we can study and know some of the facts and some of the silly stats. But the Bible is telling you that you need to get in it so that you have discretion. Now, what does discretion do for you? Discretion helps you live your life in a right path as opposed to a wrong path. You get into the Bible, and that's the knowledge that God wants us to get. God wants us to get knowledge. He wants us to have wisdom. And you say, well, I have wisdom. I mean, I've got a master's degree. I'm in college. No, I'm not talking about the world's wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs and in James, you can go to God, and the Lord gives wisdom. That's why I go to the Word of God, and I say, God, I need knowledge. And what kind of knowledge do you need? You need knowledge to know the right path from the wrong path. So knowledge. Notice the third thing in our list. It says we have to have virtue, Virtue is a right thought life. We need to have knowledge, that is discretion. We need to have temperance. Now, what is temperance? What is temperance? All right, now, you'd say, oh, I know someone that way. No, we're not talking about a name. We're not talking about a lady's name here, temperance. No, what is temperance? Temperance is self-control. Self-control. So what does self-control mean for you and I? It is something that we must add to our faith. And this is, notice, and I don't know if the list, you know, you read commentators and you look at this theologically, and I don't know if these things build upon each other or if it's collectively we need to be working on them. All right, but if they build upon each other, notice the one that is before it. What's the one before it? Knowledge. I do think that without biblical knowledge, you will never have proper self-control. There are some of you here that you have problems with addictions. There are some of you here as a young man, it could be as an older man, that you have problem with your moral thought life. And what is going to resolve that for you? Is it just you saying, you know what, I just need to be stronger, and so I need to go and I need to work out so I can be stronger? Well, you're not talking about physical strength. Spiritual strength comes from knowledge in the Word of God. And that knowledge in the Word of God means that I'm going into the Word of God, and in essence, I am taking the Word of God and I am working out with it. I am using it to build my spiritual life. And as my spiritual life gains strength, then I can have more self-control. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will then guide me and I will walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And as you walk in the Spirit, then I can deny the flesh. But as you get away from the Word of God, you will have less control of self. Because control of self comes through our knowledge of the Word of God. And so our third thing here is temperance. It is self-control. It's mastering our desires and passions. We bought into the lies of Satan. We bought into the lies of Satan. And in this area of self-control, some of you, when something happens and you say, you know what, I just can't help myself. That's a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the devil. You can stop it through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can. You might say, well, everybody in my school is doing this. How am I supposed to not do it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. You might even say, well, God wants me to be happy. You're twisting scriptures a little bit. You're not really going to see in the Bible that God wants everybody happy. What He wants you to be is right. He wants you to be godly. He also says that He wants joy in your life and He wants peace. That isn't an attitude of happiness. And that's normally what we come across when we say, well, you know what? The Bible says God wants me happy. No. God wants you right. And when you're right with Him, guess what will happen? You'll have joy and happiness. That's where we will be happy. So let's look at the fourth thing. The fourth thing says patience. Patience. In the New Testament, this is characteristic of a person who is not swayed. It's patience. They have a deliberate purpose. They're loyal to their faith and piety. Even when trials and sufferings come, this is the idea given to us with the idea of patience. So what am I supposed to be adding to my faith? I'm adding virtue and I'm adding knowledge and temperance. And then it says that I'm adding patience. And patience will come as I am growing in the Lord, because guess what's going to happen? The devil wants to come and swerve you off the path. And patience Godly patience will help me stay the course. It'll help me to toe the line when it comes to myself and when it comes to the devil that comes in and says, no, it's not worth it. You see, God isn't rewarding you. God isn't blessing you. Have patience. Stay the course. And if you add to your faith properly, patience will come. And as you gain patience, then you will understand. Sometimes trials, sometimes sufferings come. Sometimes we bring it on ourselves. But sometimes God will bring something into your life to teach you patience. Then learn that patience. Have patience. Persevere. Hang in there. Take the hand of God as a little child and hold on. Another virtue. It says virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. Godliness is a spirit of reverence and respect for God. We understand that God is holy. We understand that He needs to be revered and respected. And that is something that has gone away in our society. Now, it's a mockery. God is a mockery. The things of God are made fun of and they're made light of. No, as we grow in our knowledge of the Lord, guess what will happen? Our love for God and our respect and reverence for God will grow. There'll be a holiness that'll come upon us. We look also at this passage and it says, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. And the last one there, and I think it relates, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity is simply love. All right, and we could go to 1 Corinthians 13 and we could study it. My challenge to you is to take this list, then look at each of these characteristics. Well, what I want to do just quickly is to show us, we looked at the traits. How do we then take on these traits in our life? Well, it gives us two ideas in this passage. It says in this passage that, for he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off. Okay? And then notice in verse 10. Notice in verse 10. Wherefore, the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Two ideas on how to make these traits last. How to add these traits to your life. The first one is you must have diligence. What's the idea of diligence? Diligence, when you get in this passage and you read this list, when you see the word diligence, basically, the idea is, all right, I'm sorry for using a crude example, but guys, it's like walking into a weight room. You know the aroma? Ah, that fresh, raw aroma is there. Guess what? In the Bible, in this passage, when you see that word diligence, all you can imagine is work. That's what the Bible tells you you got to be doing. You can smell the workout. You can smell the sweat. And that's what it's going to take for you to have a godly life. It's going to take some sweat. It's going to take some work. It's going to take that patience, the forbearance, hanging on. And working at it day in, day out, day in, day out. That's what we got to be doing. We need to have diligence. Here in this passage, it's saying that we should have all diligence. In your life, in this past week, have you had diligence and putting some characteristics into your spiritual life? Or did you just let everything drop? This week, I guarantee sitting here in this auditorium, there are people that added to their faith this week, and there are some of you subtracted because you weren't diligent. You didn't go into the spiritual workout room, and you didn't get in there and say, you know what? I don't feel like it today, but I'm going to still work out spiritually. Spiritually, we must have diligence. Now, the second thing that we must have, notice it's found in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, there's our word, add to your faith. The idea of adding, we already mentioned as far as the musical term. But the other idea with adding gives you, and Peter gives us this, he gives us a list. So guess what you and I need to do? We need to, if we're going to add some traits to our spiritual life, we need to have diligence, and that means I'm going into the spiritual workout room. The second thing I must do is I must have some goals. I'm adding to my faith. I'm having some goals. I'm listing some things out. That's why I gave you those three examples at the beginning of Jonathan Edwards and Benjamin Franklin and George Washington. And you can go down through the annals of history, and what you'll find, when you find a good man, a godly man, you will find that he got with God and God gave him a list of things to work on. And if you get with God, God will help you make a list of things to work on. You may have a problem with your tongue. Then ask God to help you to mark some things down, get into the Bible, and work on controlling your tongue. You may have a problem with thoughts. Then you get with God and you say, God, how can I be diligent in overcoming this? And God will give you some ideas on how to overcome it. It could be that you're lacking in patience, you're lacking in charity and brotherly kindness and godliness and holiness. What is your weakness? All of us should be growing and adding to our faith. But many of us, we walk into church, we hear a sermon, the Holy Spirit, we pray that He convicts, and I believe He does. But we walk out the doors and we just forget everything that was just brought to us. The Holy Spirit, He worked on your heart, and now He wants to continue that work. And so guess what you should do? Then get alone with God. Take a few minutes. Take a few minutes after the service. Take a few minutes this evening and say, God, I was at church all day. God, you want me to add to my faith. So what do you want me to add this week to my faith? You know what you'll find? If you just take those little steps like that, then a month from now, you'll look back and you'll say, man, God's made me stronger. And then 2 months later, 3 months later, you'll find that you're stronger. There's a story, a famous story from many, many years ago. It's called The Little Hero of Holland. Little Hero of Holland is about a boy named Peter. Peter lived in Holland, and in Holland they have these dams or dikes. And his father was in charge of opening the gates and making sure that the gates were secure on one of the dams. And these dams, the gates were very important because they would collect water. And if there was a leak or if there was a problem with some of the dams, then all of the fields would be flooded. Well, Peter was at home, and his mother knew that across the dam there was an elderly man that lived there, and Peter liked to go visit him. And so his mother made some things, some food, and said, "Hey, Peter, you want to go over and see him?" So Peter grabbed the things and he went over, and it was in the middle of the day. He went over and he spent some time with that elderly man. They had a good time talking. And then he told the man, he said, "You know what? I need to get back home by dinner time, or Mom will be upset and she'll be worried about me." So he started walking back across the dam. And as he got halfway back home, he heard a noise. And for him, because his father was involved with the dams, he heard the trickle of water. And for most people, it would be like, "Oh, you know, it's just a trickle of water." But because his dad was involved with the securing of the dams, he knew that that could be a problem. So he walked down and he looked up, and there was a little tiny hole in the dam. And he looked at it and he thought, "You know what? That, you know, a little hole in a dam could then grow." At that time, it wasn't made out of concrete. There was just wood planks, and there was a little hole. And so Peter, he didn't know what else to do, so he just stuck his finger in there. He stuck his finger in the hole, and then he was like, "Man, look at this. I stopped it." But then he thought, "Wait a minute. If I pull my finger out, then all the water's going to start coming." So he left his finger there, and every once in a while, he'd hear somebody walking across way up top, and he'd yell. He'd say, "Hello!" Nobody heard him. It started getting darker and darker. And Peter said, "You know what? I can't just leave, because otherwise this water is going to leak out. And it's just a little hole. But you know what? I understand. Man, if I leave this, it's going to grow." So Peter stood there all night. It got cold. He was freezing. And man, he wanted to just go home, and he was thinking about his brothers and sisters laying there in their warm beds with their sheets and their blankets, and he was just shivering. But he stayed there and he held on. In the morning, the sun came up. He heard someone walking down, and Mom now was kind of worried because he hadn't come home. And so she had sent out a few extra people, talked to some neighbors, and they started calling, "Peter! Peter!" Finally, they found Peter down there with his finger holding back all the water. And they call him the little hero from Holland, because here was a little boy that saw a little thing. And that little thing was so important to him that he stayed all night. And guess what he did? He gave himself diligently to stopping the water from keeping on flowing. And I tell you that illustration in closing because this is what I'm asking you to do. You can look at that list and it can be overwhelming. You can say, "Man, patience and godliness and temperance and brotherly kindness and knowledge and virtue, all of these things. I mean, how am I going to do it?" Take one of them. Just take one thing then and say, "God, I will work on one thing, God, and I will work on it so that I can become more godly. So that I am adding to my faith." And what you'll find is after a few weeks, you've worked on that a little bit, and God then can say, "Now, we've patched up this. We patched up this hole. Now, let's come over to this other hole." And after a period of time, what you will find is your life will become stronger as a Christian because of working daily at some part of your spiritual walk. Instead of just skipping through life, let's look and concentrate and let's add to our faith what God wants added to our faith. Then God, I believe, can bless us more. Why? Because we're working spiritually at what God wants us to improve on in our lives. Heads bowed, eyes closed here this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just kind of starting out with an idea over the next couple of weeks, and then we're going to take some of the thoughts. We're going to look at the idea of faith. We're going to look at the idea of humility. We're going to look at the different ideas and say, all right, God, look at the idea of charity and say, in my life, am I working on it? Spiritually this morning, as a Christian, are you working on things in your life, or have you let them go? Have you let them go? It doesn't matter what age you are. You could be 80 years old here this morning, and I can tell you this much. If you did not work over the last couple weeks on some area of your spiritual walk, then you have been lazy. You have been lazy as a Christian, and you're letting the devil come in and get a foothold in your life. The Bible commands us to add to our faith. Are you adding to your faith the necessary things? Heavenly Father, we'd ask you to bless this morning. Help us as we work over the next few weeks, looking at some traits. Lord, help us to understand that you want us to spiritually, as we said, have diligence. We need to spiritually get into that workout room. Spiritually, there should be some sweat. Spiritually, there should be some grunting of us working and helping you to work in our lives. Lord, deal with our hearts spiritually. Deal with us and expose those things that we have let go, Lord, so that we can be a right people. We thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the opportunity to look at Scripture and to try to understand what you have for us. Bless the invitation, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing with